Hey, good morning. I'm glad you're here in church today. Hey, I've got a great word for you, and it follows on from our foundations of faith that we've been doing. And I've entitled this Hope, the Fuel of Faith. But maybe it's not quite like you've understood before. So let's jump right into it this morning, and I want to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that does not return to you void or empty, but it prospers in the thing for which you sent it to do. Lord, and we have this great, Lord, understanding through the word, Lord, that the worlds were made by a substance called faith. Lord, and we know that without faith it's impossible to please you. So, Lord, we push in so we can build our faith. In your wonderful name, amen. Now, I need to speak to you on the difference between hope and faith this morning. Now, hope is an important fundamental to faith, and without hope or of a future or hope of something, we cannot actually build our faith. You know, I was reading something from by Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans, who was a medical doctor, who was actually wonderfully healed and set free from a severe drug addiction to morphine under the ministry of John Alexander Dowie in the late 1800s. And many of you have heard me speaking about the impact that John Alexander Dowie had, who was a minister disillusioned by politics, disillusioned by things in Sydney, and he saw the healing power of God released. And then he went to the US and impacted many, many people, and including John G. Lake, who was really impacted by John Alexander Dowie. And I read something recently which she wrote, which was a great blessing to me. And Dr. Lillian Yeomans said this: "If I pray for any one thing, or pray just one time for anything, and I don't get it, I start changing. I start changing because if I pray and that prayer isn't answered, there'll have to be a change on my part before the answer comes. I know there can't be any change on God's part because he never changes. So if there has to be a change or any change, it has to be on my end of the line. So if I pray and do not receive, then I start changing." You know, that is a great example that God never changes. And Hebrews 13:8 says this: "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever." When Jesus was God the Word, he was the Creator. He was also the Healer, or we know him as Jehovah Rapha. That means the Lord that heals you. So when he became a man, he just continued what he always has done and went around healing people. And in Acts 10:38, we see that it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." You know, he's still healing people today because he paid in full for the debt of every sickness and every disease. So every disease, every sickness is paid in full. There's no debt against that. You can't earn it. It's there. So healing's not a promise of God. It's a fact, and it belongs to you. And we read this in 1 Peter 2:24, which says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." That's past tense. You were healed. So you were healed 2,000 years ago for your sicknesses and your diseases, and they were paid in full by Jesus. You know, Hebrews 11:1 says this: "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the title deed of things not seen." So it's interesting that faith is a substance. It's actually a substance that God used to create everything. It's a substance. He didn't create the worlds out of nothing. He created them out of a substance called faith. And it's the evidence or the title deed of things you can't see. So we need to realize that we cannot substitute hope for faith and get answers from God. Now, don't misunderstand me. If you keep hope in the right place, it is a most blessed and wonderful reality to you. And Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest is love. The Apostle Paul is not inferring that hope and faith are not important. Each has its place, and one cannot be substituted for the other. We cannot substitute love for hope, and neither can we substitute hope for faith. Yet so many people try to receive things from God on the basis of hope, rather on faith. In dealing with many people throughout the years, I know that most people are trying desperately to receive healing, trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or trying to get an answer to prayer based on hope instead of on faith. Oh, they hope so much that they could get these things. I know that they are substituting hope for faith because of what they normally say to me. Many of them have said to me, if you take my hope away from me, I don't have anything left. I'm just hanging on to that hope. I respond, no, I'm not taking your hope away from you. I'm just showing you that you've made hope misplaced, that you put it in the wrong area. You are trying to make hope do what only faith can do, and that's received from God. Faith is the only thing that you can use to receive from God. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6 says, so it's impossible to please Him. Hear what Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, and this section here is something that most children hear about when they go to Sunday school. But this is a very important passage that Jesus speaks out. And it is regarding faith. Therefore, whoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, which is the word, Christ Jesus. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So, question, what does a storm represent? Well, it represents trials and testings. Trials and testings come from your enemy, the devil. And it's designed to see if what you are hoping for is real or just hope. Is it hope or is it faith? It comes to put pressure on what you're believing. And that pressure comes so that it's designed that you fail, because the enemy comes to steal the word. Now, verse 26, but anyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So the wise man built his house on the rock, the word, Christ Jesus. Right? Foolish man builds his house on the sand, on hope alone. So when you build on the rock, on the word, when you build your life on the word, see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So when you build on the word, faith comes. Faith comes to you by hearing. So what do I mean by building on hope alone? Well, I'm talking about mental assent, thinking that you have faith when all you have is hope. You know, it might be like this. I'm hoping in my mind that God will heal me. I'm hoping in my mind that God will get me a debt-free house. Oh, I sure would like a debt-free house. I'm hoping and I'm praying that God will do these things for me. Yeah, you may have gone to a meeting and seen someone get healed. And now you're hoping that what happened to that person will happen to you. But when the storm comes, or when the pain comes, you have nothing to stand on. So you run as fast as you can, and you wait in line to see the doctor. Now, I'm not against doctors. I thank God for great doctors. But I can tell you this, Jesus Christ is your healer. He is your healer. He paid the price for your healing. It's in full. paid it in full. And it's just waiting for someone to claim it. It's like with Jesus, it's all bulk billed. There's nothing to pay. Come over to me with a scripture here in Matthew 18 and verse 18 through 20. And I want to show you something here. Now, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind or forbid on earth will be bound or forbidden in heaven. Whatever you loose or permit on earth will be loosed or permitted in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, another translation says, if two of you agree as touching anything on earth, it will be done by them. Let me read verse 19 again. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there. I am there in the midst of them. Now, I remember one day a woman said to me, Pastor Michael, can you come into agreement with me? You quoted this scripture before in Matthew 18, 19, where Jesus said, if two of you shall agree on earth concerning or touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. I said, all right. What do you want me to agree with you about? She said, do I really have to tell you? I said, certainly you do. I can't agree with something when I don't know what we're agreeing about. She said, well, it's a financial need. I said, all right, how much do you need? She said, well, my husband has a job which makes so much money, but an emergency has risen and we need an extra $500 this month. And I just don't know where it's going to come from. But I know God can help us and show us. He certainly can, I said. Then you want me to agree with you that God will provide you an extra $500 this month. Is that right? Yes, she said. All right, let's agree. I'm going to pray, and you listen while I pray. You agree with what I pray, because if we both pray at once, you may go in one direction and I may go another, and that's not unity. Let's agree. You just agree in your spirit right now. So I prayed. And I reminded the Father that we were agreeing according to his word. I said, we're on earth, and you said if two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything they shall ask, you would do it for them. I said, we agree as touching this extra $500 that this woman needs this month. We thank you, Father, because we agree it's done. Thank you for it. Amen. It's done, sister, I said. Immediately, I'm not making fun of her. I'm merely stating some facts. She turned to me with tears in her eyes and said, Pastor Michael, I sure hope so. I hope so. I replied, well, then it's not. It isn't, because we haven't or we didn't agree. You're hoping and I'm believing. There is no agreement there. See, this is exactly why some prayers don't work for us. Certainly, it isn't God's fault that prayers don't work. If our prayers don't work, it isn't God's fault because he never fails. If our prayers don't work, it's not Jesus' fault because Jesus never fails. God doesn't change and prayer doesn't change God. He's just the same before you pray, when you pray, and after you pray. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes circumstances, but prayer does not change God. He will always, and he is always the same. And that means he is always faithful to his word. Now, when we look in Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. You know, Abraham developed faith from hope when he decided to believe God and take him at his word. You know, he believed God when God said, I want you to leave your father's house and go to a place I will show you. He had a hope of what God was going to do. And then he had great hope when he was promised a child. But after he tried to produce that child, after standing in hope for years and it wasn't working, Sarah and him got together and said, maybe there's another way. And so they came up with a way to give Sarah's handmaid as a way to make that child, and it produced Ishmael. And it's like you've been saying that you've been believing for a debt-free house, and you've been believing for it and hoping for it. You've even told people that I believe I'm going to get a debt-free house. And when it's not materializing, then you go to the bank for a loan. See, you weren't believing, you were just hoping. You're just wanting. And Romans 4 and verse 20 says this, he, which is Abraham, did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So after the failure of hope in Abraham's life, God spoke to him and changed his name. And he started to call himself Father of Nations. He started to call Sarah Mother of Nations. And he did not consider, at the age of 99, he did not consider that he was well beyond the years of a man being able to reproduce. He did not consider his wife Sarah and her advanced years of age being 90. He did not even think about that one iota. That didn't come into his conversation. It didn't come into his thinking. He rejected every thought concerning that. And he only thought about the word. He was fully persuaded. You know, hope is always in the future or future tense. And we thank God for a blessed hope. You know, the blessed hope of the church is that there's going to be a soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a hope that the resurrection of the saints that have died, the rapture of saints that remain, the hope of immortality, the hope of heaven, the hope of seeing our loved ones and friends, and the hope of ruling and reigning with Christ on earth for 1,000 years. And thank God for that hope. We rejoice in the hope. But all of that hope is based in the future. It's future tense. Now, Jesus is coming again, whether we believe it or not. He's coming because his word says so. The resurrection is going to take place whether we have faith in it or not. Whether we believe it or not, it's still going to take place. The rapture of the church is going to take place whether we believe it or not. Our loved ones and friends who are Christians, who have died and left this world and gone to heaven, are there regardless what we believe about it. And they and us will return with Jesus when he comes back. See, my faith is not going to bring Jesus back. In other words, we can't believe that he will come at a particular time and have faith to bring him back. If that were true, the church could come together and we could believe that Jesus would come back next week. But Jesus is coming, however, independent of what we believe or hope for. But you see, that's all future tense because we don't know what will happen or when that will happen. But we know it will happen. We know it's a blessed hope. And we know that it's a purifying hope because 1 John 3:3 says, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." See, the blessed hope is future-based or future tense. I absolutely believe Jesus is coming back. But he's coming back to this earth regardless whether I believe it or not. Looking for Jesus' return and waiting for that blessed hope is a combination of simply believing what the word says and having hope in what the word says. It's all future tense. But if I say I'm going to get my healing one day, that's not believing at all. It's hope, not faith. And hope won't bring healing to you. You know, I've seen good people who were sick yet have died saying that. They were wonderful people and undoubtedly now in heaven. And I wouldn't speak despairingly of them because they were wonderful Christians, but they just didn't know what faith is. Someone said, I believe God is going to heal me. But that isn't faith, and that's hope. Anything that points to the future and looks to the future is hope. It is not faith, because faith is now. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is. You know, I remember in the 70s, and we had a visitation from a famous man of faith from the US, and he preached a sermon, and it was all about now faith is, now faith is, now faith is. And I finally got it. Faith is now. Faith is mine. This is what faith says. Faith is mine. I have it now. Hope says, I'll get it sometime. But as long as you are in hope and not in faith, whatever it is you are desiring will never materialize. It will never come into being. But the moment you start believing and acting like God's word is so, your faith will work for you. Unbelief is really taking sides against God's word. See, if you're in unbelief, you're taking sides against what God said. There are those who talk unbelief and take sides against the word of God and wonder why God's word doesn't work for them. If you want God's word to work for us, we must side with it. Sometimes when people ask me, when they come for prayer, if they believe they'll be healed when I pray. Well, I sure hope I will, they say. And I simply tell them that they won't. For we receive from God by faith, not from hope. Still others will answer my question saying, well, I want to. I desperately want to be healed. But I tell them, you might want, or you might desperately want a new BMW, but that doesn't mean you'll get it. You see, just wanting won't get the job done. It's not hoping or wanting, it's faith that gets the job done. You will not receive from God because you hope. Nowhere does the Bible say that when we pray, we shall receive for what we hope for. God's word does say, however, in Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Jesus also said in Matthew 21:22, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you'll receive. Not hoping, but believing. You know, I read a great account from Kenneth Hagin, who I really attribute to this whole thing on faith in this modern times. And Kenneth Hagin was impacted, obviously, in his time by other great men like Smith Wigglesworth and people like that. But I read this account from him, which he learned when he was very sick many, many years ago. And he had laid on his bed for 16 months before he was healed. In fact, he'd been sick all his life, and he never had a normal childhood. He never ran and played like other children. And at 15 years of age, he'd become totally bedridden. Five doctors were seeing him, one who had practiced at the Great Mayo Clinic. And they said, as far as medicine science knew or had any record of, no one in this condition had ever lived past the age of 16. He became totally bedridden and just a few months before he was 17 years of age. He remained bedridden until he was almost 17. He went through everything that anyone and everyone does when they desperately want to be healed. Thank God for all the good books we've got on that subject of faith and healing today, but in those days, there weren't any, or weren't many. If there were, Kenneth Hagin didn't know about them. He didn't even know how to get hold of them. He was just a denominational boy reading his grandma's Bible. The reason he read his grandma's Bible, because he had a New Testament and the words were too small, because in his sickness, he found it very hard to focus. You know, when Kenneth was trying to get healed, he cried and prayed and said, dear Lord, please heal me. He begged the Lord to heal him. He prayed all night, several nights, and nearly all night, several other nights. He prayed many hours a day, day after day, week after week, month after month. He was born again, but he wasn't getting any results as far as obtaining his healing. He'd pray and was sure that God heard him and had healed him because he sort of felt a feeling that he had. It didn't mean a physical feeling because he didn't feel any different, but he just felt like God had heard him. He can't say that physically that he heard from God, but he was talking about a spiritual sort of sense in his spirit. He sort of felt that in his spirit. When he would pray for healing, he would sense that it was. He was healed. His prayers had been answered. But then he would feel his heart, and it was not beating right. He was looking at his lower legs and realized that they're still paralyzed. His legs were just like bones with skin stretched over them. There was no meat or muscle on his thighs or on his calves. Then he'd start crying and say, "Lord, I thought you were going to heal me. I just felt like you did. I just knew it, but you didn't." He couldn't understand it. And for about a month or so, he just wouldn't even look at his Bible. He was so disillusioned. He decided he might as well give up on prayer as well. Then he started slipping away. He'd go right down to death's door and right down to the throes of death. He'd hold onto the bed head to try and keep from going. And you could see where he held onto the bed head because the varnish was worn off that bed head. He would fight death with every fiber of his being. And then he'd come back to the Word, and finally he came back to the Word again and began to read it again. See, as a young person, he wanted to live so badly. So from a natural standpoint, he fought death. But he couldn't see where he was missing it spiritually. He would try to act upon God's Word. And he'd get some results and recover from the attacks, but he still didn't receive his healing. Finally, on the second Tuesday of August 1934, after lying on the bed of sickness for 16 months, he said this, "Dear Lord Jesus, when you're on earth, you said in Mark 11:24, and whatever things you desire, when you pray, believing you'll receive. I desire to be healed. You said, when you pray. I have prayed. You said, believe. I have believed." He continued, "Dear Lord Jesus, if you stood by my bedside in the flesh and I could see you with my physical eyes and I could reach you with my physical hand and lay my hand on yours, if you were to say to me, 'Son, the trouble with you is that you're not believing,' I would have to say to you, 'Dear Lord Jesus, you're lying about it. I do believe.'" He said this in all sincerity and not in arrogance at all. The Holy Spirit then spoke to his spirit inside of him. "Yes, you believe all right, as far as you know." See, a person can't believe beyond actual knowledge. It just can't be done. That's where many of us fail. They don't really know what the Word says. And the Lord said, "You believe all right, as far as you know." But the last part goes with Mark 11:24, "And you shall have them," it says, "believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Believe you receive your petition before you have it. Then he saw it. It was just like somebody had turned on the light on the inside of him. He saw it. He said instantly, "Dear Lord Jesus, I see it. I see it. I have to believe I receive my healing before I get it. I have to believe that I receive my healing for my heart while my heart is still not beating right. I have to believe that I receive my healing for my paralysis, even though from a natural standpoint, I'm still paralyzed. And if I believe I receive it, then I will have it." You see, he had not done that yet. He wanted to get his healing first and then believe. Instantly, he saw what he had been doing. He had been hoping for all those months to receive his healing, and hope didn't work. Hope didn't do it. He could never receive the answer to his prayers through hope, only through faith. That meant he had to receive, or he had to believe, that he had his petition before he actually saw it manifested. If you just follow the Word and the Holy Spirit, you'll find yourself walking in line with the Word, because the Holy Spirit will always lead you in line with the Word. You see, when he was lying there on his bed, he could move, it was only the upper part of his body that he could move. He couldn't move his legs. He couldn't move. They were paralyzed. And the only part he could move was really his hands. So he lifted his hands as he laid flat on his back on his bed. And he lifted his hands towards heaven and said this, "Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus, I thank God I'm healed. I believe I'm healed." And he finally had it in the right tense. He finally got it working for him. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now faith is not, if it's not now, it's not faith. The Bible says now faith is, present tense. If it's not present tense, it's not faith. When he said to the Lord, "Lord, I believe, I receive my healing now." That's when he had faith working for him. But when people say, "I believe I'm going to get my healing," that's not faith. It's not present tense. He said, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for my healing. I believe that my heart is well. I believe that my paralysis is healed. I thank you for the healing of my body." You know, a few minutes can seem a long time, but he must have praised God in that vein for 10 minutes. He must have spent 10 minutes thanking him that his heart was well and his body was healed. And Kenneth's final key to his healing was to exercise his faith and get out of bed, because his spirit said to him, a healed person wouldn't be lying in bed. He put his faith to work and his healing was manifest. Oh, the temptation was strong, so strong to go back to the sense realm. When he called his heart healed, his hand wanted to go to his heart to feel what was happening. But he stopped himself. He stopped himself. "I'm not going to go back to what I feel anymore. I'm not going to rely upon what I feel at any stage." And so he resisted the temptation to feel his heart. He resisted the temptation to look at his limbs. He just said, "No, I will walk." And so he responded to and he acted on faith, and his miracle was there. Let's all stand up and we'll close in prayer today. And we'll continue this on next week. But right now I want you to meditate on this, and I want you to move from hope to faith. God bless you.